Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for this morning and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would cause us to hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. God, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds. And I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. If you would, take out from your bulletin a sheet of paper. On one side, it says sermon notes. You can fill in the blanks. There's ample room in the margins to write anything that you feel God is speaking to you about. On the other side are the weekly devotions. They bear in mind today's sermon and theme. And I encourage you to take that home with you and to work through those devotions throughout the course of the week. If you're listening online, there's a PDF file. Download with both of those documents. This is our last sermon in the series called Faith on the Big Screen. We've been looking at some of the movies released this summer and how they speak to the spiritual life. And it raises a question for me. What is your outlook? What is your perspective in life? This last sermon is based on the Lego Movie 2, where the characters in the movies are anthropomorphic minifigures, or known in the industry as minifigs. But for us today, for our purpose, they're simply Lego people. And to get into Lego Movie 2, you really need to have watched the first Lego movie, where we're introduced to Emmett Brickowski. Whoop, there he is on the screen. Emmett Brickowski is a regular kind of guy, a construction worker from Bricksburg. And if there's anything which represents to us who Emmett is, it's this song. Now, to properly listen to this song, you need to say this phrase with me. Go sports team. Try it again. Go sports team. Now, we'll come to this song as Emmett is driving to work. His favorite song comes on the radio and represents Emmett's outlook on life. So please join in. Go sports team! Because everything is awesome.
Step 13. Enjoy popular music.
Jump the charts again. Everything is awesome.
Oh my gosh, I love this song.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool. Everything is awesome. Living your dream.
Always use a turn signal. Park between the lines. Yes. Drop off dry cleaning before noon. Read the headlines. Don't forget to smile. Always root for the local sports team.
Go sports team!
Always return a compliment. Hey, you look nice.
So do you.
Drink overpriced coffee.
There you go. That's $37.
What awesome!
Everything is awesome.
Did you see Where Are My Pants last night?
Buddy!
Classic episode.
Everything is awesome.
Instructions coming in from Central. Okay, it says here to take everything weird and blow it up.
I think it looks exactly like it does in the instructions.
Hey, buddy, I need a 1x2 keyhole.
No problem, Michael.
There's 2x2 macaroni over here.
2x2 macaroni flying in. Here's one, Mel.
Cheese floats. Come on, everybody.
Roger that, Roger.
Alive, coming at you.
Can I get a couple warps over here?
Thanks, Gail.
Hey, guys, watch me throw this down.
Sing this song for hours!
Everything is awesome!
When you're part of a team!
Woo!
Yeah! I'm going to...
Go sports team! We note that Emmett's outlook on life is upbeat because everything to him is awesome. He's a part of the team. He's a glass half full, not half empty kind of guy. Now, I know the song, Everything is Awesome, doesn't represent all of us all of the time. In anyone's life, there will be bumps in the road. And life at times can get pretty difficult at best. In church even, it sometimes seems like this is the place where people are least honest, least genuine, and least sincere about life. We come to church with a smile on our face to tell everyone that everything is awesome, even when it's not. And we note that if we're real, we all realize there are moments when life is hard. Kids are going back to school, facing new friends and even old enemies, as well as having to ramp up homework. There are new challenges at work or at home. Relationships are stressed with family or friends, work associates. We find that money is tight. Some facing the thoughts of saying goodbye to loved ones or friends. Our life is a little bit more crazy than usual. And sometimes we're living, we feel, more of a nightmare than a dream. And for me, we note what makes it worse is we think we're the only ones who are experiencing it, and that we're not a part of any team. We're alone, as we feel that there is no one there to help us. It happens at the beginning of Lego Movie 2, the once wonderful town of Bricksburg, where everything is good and right, has been pummeled by the Duplo aliens, ravaging the town of Bricksburg, leaving it desolate. And then 5 years later, in a post-apocalyptic wasteland known as Apocalypseburg, Emmett, who is still very optimistic, he is still the everything is awesome kind of guy, is trying to build a new home for he and his friend Lucy. Now, after some time has passed and it seems like the end has come, some Lego characters express their worry in a revised version of the Lego Movie song. Everything's not awesome, they sing slowly. Everything's not cool, I am so depressed. One character wails, what's the point? There's no hope. Awesomeness was just a pipe dream. Even Lego Batman, the body-conscious superhero, sadly sings, love's not real, I just want to eat carbs, pass the ice cream. And we note that feeling this way leads us to a place of hopelessness, not hopefulness. Now, if we're real, there are moments in each of our lives where we sing along with this revised song. There's no hope. Awesomeness is just a pipe dream, pass the ice cream. Yet we're not the first to experience these times. No, in fact, we could almost switch out this wonderful city called Bricksburg for the great city of Israel, Jerusalem. And we note at one time, Jerusalem, the city of God, was the place to be. It was awesome some 3,000 years ago. And if you know anything about Jerusalem at that time, the temple of God in Jerusalem was the place where everyone wanted to be. We note that King David had brought peace to Israel. And his son, we note King Solomon, had built the great temple of God, the place where God resided among the Israelite nation. The national atmosphere was great. The economy was booming. Israel was the place to be. And all of the nations recognized this one true living God of the Israelites, such that they feared God so as to not even begin to think to attack the state. Say it with me. Everything was awesome. Then King Solomon slowly began to do what God had told him never to do. He began erecting shrines to the God of some of his wives so as to please them. A huge no-no to the very first two commandments of the great Ten Commandments. One, you shall have no other gods before me. And two, you shall not make for yourself a graven image. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Solomon slowly drew the kingdom of God's people away from God. And what was once awesome began to disintegrate. And after his death, the kingdom of Israel was divided from one into two. The northern kingdom strayed further and further from God, never looking back. The southern kingdom sometimes strayed and sometimes renewed their relationship with God, but they too would falter in the end. And we have to note that because of Solomon and the sin of the nation, they lost everything. Everything. God said that they would be once again experiencing captivity. And 400 years after Solomon, 400 years in which they could have repented and gotten right with God, first the northern kingdom was taken into captivity by the Assyrians, and then a number of years later the southern kingdom was taken into captivity by the Babylonians. And like the city of Bricksburg, Jerusalem was laid to waste. The temple was stripped and laid bare. Nothing was awesome anymore. All because the people could not remain faithful to God. They could not remain holy to God because they allowed and entertained sin at first. And rather than turning from their disobedience and asking God for forgiveness, they gave themselves wholeheartedly to sin and the gods of other nations. The things that didn't matter most are what they kept close to their heart. Listen as the prophet Jeremiah laments, grieves, and wails at how the great Israelite nation had gone into captivity. He says, "How deserted the city lies the city once so full of people. How like a widow is she who once was great among the nations. She who is queen among the provinces has now become a slave. Bitterly she weeps at night. Tears are on her cheeks. There is no one to comfort her. Jerusalem has sinned greatly and so has become unclean. Her filthiness clung to her skirts. She did not consider her future. Her fall was astounding. There was none to comfort her." In the movie, in the wasteland they find themselves in, it is Emmett's friend Lucy who strikes the right tone between everything is awesome and the complete feelings of sadness and despondency. I love this line in the Lego movie, and we note, when everything seems hopeless, Lucy says, it's only over if we give up. It's all about perspective. It's all about the outlook she chooses to live by. Lucy sings these words, "Everything's not awesome, but that doesn't mean that it's hopeless and bleak. Everything's not awesome, but in my heart I believe we can make things better if we stick together. Side by side, you and I, we will build it together." Lucy's perspective reminds us that it's not hopeless and bleak. That in her heart, she still believes. And better entails sticking together. And as I thought about this sticking together and the Israelite nation in captivity, Jeremiah reminds them that they too need to stick together, but not stick together just as people. Listen as Jeremiah shows them what to remember and with whom to stick together. Jeremiah writes, "So I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I had hoped for from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them. And my soul is downcast within me." You see, at this moment, his perspective causes him to know why they are where they're at, because he doesn't leave it there. We know Jeremiah doesn't leave the Israelites looking only to the past. Read with me what Jeremiah tells them to do. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. What does he have? Hope. He has hope. And what should we have in the midst of difficulty? Hope. We have to, and we know what we need most in times of difficulty is the hope that sees us through. The hope that sees us through. This is about perspective and outlook. It's a perspective we must keep. And hope doesn't just happen, Jeremiah says. Yet this I call to mind. Yet this being something that he is going to call to his mind to remember, to force into his thinking of affliction, wanderings, and hopeless. And in the midst of these thoughts that cause his soul to be downcast, he has to recall to mind something more important than what he's experiencing. And what is it that he calls to mind? Hope. Why? Why does he have this hope? What will he remember so as to have hope instead of hopelessness? Listen, friends, of all the things Christians should do and yet oftentimes don't do, which keeps them caught in pits of despair, loneliness, and hopefulness, is not doing this act of calling to mind, of looking for this one thing, which is what? Hope. Instead of singing, "Everything's Not Awesome," read on with me what Jeremiah tells us we need to do. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is whose faithfulness? God's faithfulness. And when are they new? Every morning. And why does Jeremiah know this? Because he knows of the Lord's great love, unconditional love for himself and for the people of God, for you and for me. Because he knows of God's great compassion to be in relationship with each one of us. God is compassionate about each one of us here. Because he knows the Lord never fails. The Lord never fails. He knows this because he knows God. Because he spends time with God daily. And he has experienced God's love and compassion and hope during the difficult moments in his life when all of Israelite is in captivity, when nothing seems awesome. Jeremiah knows hope. We too must always remember God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. This must always be our perspective, our outlook, regardless of what life throws us. We learn as Lucy sings that even when things are not awesome, she sees too that they are also not hopeless and bleak. That we still need to believe, even when it's hard to see, about being better and sticking together. The church, we should be all about hope. Together, me and the Lord. Together, you and the Lord. Together, we and the Lord. We must also remain a part of God's team. We have to remain a part of God's team. When life is at a rough point, we need to cling to Jeremiah's words in Lamentations 3 and say this with certainty. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. Is your hope always in the Lord? Are you faithfully seeking God? We're about to sing one of the most cherished hymns called Great is Thy Faithfulness, written by a guy named Thomas Chisholm. And toward the end of his life, he writes these words in a letter dated in 1941. He says, My income has not been large at any time due to the impaired health in my earlier years, which has followed me on until now. Although I must not fail to record here the unfailing, faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God, and that he has given me many wonderful displays of his providing care, for which I am filled with astonishing gratefulness, You see, he, like Jeremiah, because of his desire to be with God, on a daily basis was able to see the faithfulness and blessings of God day by day, night by night, whether it was winter, spring, summer, or fall. He never failed to see God's faithfulness because he called them to mind. He acted on it. He didn't wait for it to happen. He sought God's faithfulness. If there was one thing I was going to challenge you with, I would put you out into the world this week with, really for the rest of your life, it is to look for the faithfulness of God each and every morning, because they're new each and every morning. Don't go to bed without having identified something in your day where you see God as having been faithful. I mean, for me, I can see the sunrise and I see God's faithfulness. I can see the stars at night and I see what God has put in the heavens above me. I can see the trees blowing in the wind and the leaves clapping their hands with joy to the Lord. I don't have to look far. I see it in a smile, in laughter. I sometimes see it in tears, cleansing tears. Each and every day, look for God's faithfulness. Because the truth of life is, everything is not awesome. But that doesn't mean it's hopeless and bleak. Everything's not awesome, but in your heart, still believe. You can make things better if we stick together. Side by side, you and I and the Lord will build it together. Because great is God's faithfulness. Amen? Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for your faithfulness. For Jeremiah's recognizing that faithfulness and us recalling to mind today that faithfulness. Because they are new every morning. Because your great love is always being renewed for us. And your compassions, they never fail. Lord, help us to be people with hope. That we might give that hope to a world that seems to be becoming more hopeless. That is filling their lives with things that really don't matter. Help us to be the people who put the big rocks, the most meaningful things in our lives first. That you might be glorified and that you might be praised. And all God's people said,